Well, glad to see everybody this morning. I would say let's open your Bibles, and we're going to look at the last chapter of Proverbs today. So if you go to the middle of your Bible, that's usually somewhere in Psalms. Proverbs is after that. And go all the way to the end and look at Proverbs 31, and really we're going to be focusing on verses 10 through 31 there. Now I want to tell you a little story here as we get going. Some of you may have saw this, but last month, on July 18th, 2026, in London, a British runner named Josh Kerr broke the world record for running the fastest mile. Did you know that? He actually ran the mile, and get this, 3 minutes and 42 seconds and 66 tenths of a second. Okay, that's the fastest mile ever run by anybody ever. Okay, that's impressive. Think about your fastest mile for a second. His is way faster, right? I can't imagine the pain. I mean, this is amazing. Think about this too. His average speed was 16.17 miles an hour. That means there's places he'd get a speeding ticket, actually, right? That is amazing. In fact, I'd encourage you to watch the video of the race. You know, Kerr had for months been training and talking about he wanted to make this attempt to break the world record. He came into the race very confident in his training, that he had prepared well, that he really had a shot at breaking this record. And when he came to the race, he just exuded confidence. You could tell he was ready. He was excited to do what he set out to do. Prepared, confident, his mind set on the goal. It was as if there was nobody else racing with him, right? In fact, on the day of the race, everyone knew what he was about to do. In fact, I'd encourage you to go watch the video of this race. And they're excited and focused on him as this race began. And as the gun goes off, you can tell there is way more excitement about a mile run than there normally is, right? Most of us don't pay much attention at all. And for the first two laps, you hear the crowd, they're cheering him on. Every stride, they're cheering him on. They're watching him, and they can see the times that he's on pace. Like, he actually has a shot at this thing. And then on the third lap, his pacer gets out of the way, and he starts to take a lead. And you hear everybody just go crazy, like, this guy is doing an amazing thing here. He takes the lead. He opens up a big, sizable lead. You can see the other runners falling back, some of them quitting. And as he rounds the curve to the last finish line, you see the crowd get on their feet. They're cheering with every second. They can see it. They can see what he's doing. And then he breaks the record for the fastest time ever. Then he ripped his shirt off, which was kind of funny, but he broke the record, right? We love to celebrate great feats, don't we? Like, maybe you can think of your favorite sports feat that you love to celebrate. As humans, we love to celebrate human achievement. We love to celebrate achievement of body and mind, right? We love to celebrate when things go right and when people stand for the right things, and when we get great results that came from great and good efforts. I mean, we love it. God built that into us. And as we come to Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 this morning, what the Holy Spirit has recorded for us is just that. It is a celebration of the goodness of godly wisdom. And I want you to see this morning. In fact, in the last 22 verses of Proverbs, we get to see Lady Wisdom in action, styled as the excellent wife, and she is running her race. She's doing it all perfect. She is awesome. And in fact, she's worthy of praise, the text will tell us. We get to stand in the crowd and watch the excellent wife execute with perfection everything that Lady Wisdom has told us throughout Proverbs 1 through 9 and urged us to do in life. She does it perfectly, and the crowd goes wild, right? I mean, we ought to celebrate godly wisdom as she makes sense of life. She lives a life that's pleasing to God. She lives in the blessing of God and knows where to find life and to find blessing. I mean, I want to be able to make sense of life. I hope you do too, right? And find God's blessing. And her call to us as she demonstrates, as she runs the race, is come and follow me. Come learn from me. Let's run this race together. And you can find everything that God meant it to be. And this is really a great thing. When you taste and see that the Lord is good, that his ways are good, that they lead us into more blessing than we could have ever found ourselves. I mean, we try so hard, right? And Lady Wisdom saying, just follow me. And when we taste that, our heart wants to worship God. Praise to the Lord, like we're singing this morning. And so I want to invite you this morning. We're going to look at this passage in a couple different places. We're going to look at celebrating godly wisdom that leads to life as we look at Lady Wisdom here in action. Then we want to look at how we step into the blessing she has for those that will embrace her. And then we're going to worship the wisdom of God, what the Bible reveals to us in Jesus himself. And so before we read Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 together, I want to say just a few things about this chapter and this poem that it is. It's pretty cool. This thing is 22 verses long. And it begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, each verse. And so it's meant to be memorizable, like an acrostic. You might think of, you know, it's really a poem of A to Z, all the things, all the goodness of godly wisdom and action. Kind of like the old English poem, right? How do I love thee? Let me count the ways, right? A, I like you because of this. B, I like you because of this. Except we're in Hebrew, so it's Aleph, Bet, Daleth, Gimel. That's not as fun, right? But it's saying everything there is to love about godly wisdom personified in this woman. Proverbs 31:1 introduces the chapter, and it says it was written by King Lemuel. That's a name for you, right? Maybe any kids out there going to be Lemuel? Probably don't go with that one. But it means belonging to God. And he's saying he's writing things to us that he has been taught by his mom. And so it reminds us even back to Proverbs 1:8, where Solomon has encouraged his son to learn from both father and mother. And here a fitting ending. Here is wisdom from mom, encouragement and challenge to us as parents, right? How are you going to disciple your kids throughout the whole book? How are we as Christian parents going to disciple our kids so that they can learn to follow the Lord? And if you don't have kids, right, the blessing of the Christian family is you can be a spiritual mother or father to anybody in the room. Paul talks that way about so many people, right? They are his spiritual kids. You get an opportunity to be a spiritual mother or father as you disciple others in the ways of Jesus. And so here's King Lemuel offering his little bit of discipleship to us, belonging to God. We don't know exactly who he was. It could be Solomon. It could be a pagan king that converted to follow Yahweh and saw the goodness of who God was and is just recounting the goodness of wisdom that he has found in God. But he has learned wisdom from his mom. He's found godly wisdom, right and good, and that it leads to life. It is worthy of praise, and he wants us to enjoy it too. That's why he's written to us. And so he records for us this memorable poem. You know, and I believe the author of Proverbs chose this poem for the end of the book for a specific reason, okay? I think it's meant to be a final summary to show us God's wisdom that they've been pressing on us in action. Here's what it looks like, right? Writer of Proverbs at the end of the book wants us to get up on our feet, celebrate the very wisdom of God when it's doing its thing. I mean, it's really great. And to run the race of our Christian lives in ways that help us get all the way to the finish line, receiving the prize Jesus has for us. I think that's what we want to do, right? That's why we're here this morning. We want to follow Jesus. We want to get all the way to the end. Part of the purpose of church is encourage each other. Let's keep going, right? Keep going to the prize. And so King Lemuel here in verses 1 through 10 even talks about, his mom tells him to stray from Lady Folly, who's going to drag him down, drags kings down. Stay away from the ways of folly, like drinking that are not right for a king that needs to make good decisions. And then he comes to this poem about the excellent wife who he needs to find. And so let's stand on our feet this morning and we're going to read verses 10 through 31 here and then say a few things about it. Here's what King Lemuel has to say to us by the Spirit. He says, "An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and has works with willing hands. She is like the ships of a merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions even for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the dye staff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her works praise her in the gates." And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So this is the final poem in Proverbs here, and it calls us first to this, to celebrate the goodness of godly wisdom, here identified in the excellent wife. And so, again, we've said that wisdom here now is personified as the excellent wife, I believe, in 3:10. Proverbs 31:10 says this, "The excellent wife, who can find?" Right? Where is she? Where do you find this woman? And really, the answer to that question is nowhere. Like, where is she? That's a rhetorical question to us, because the kind of wise woman the Bible is talking about here is rare. In fact, not to be a term thrown around lightly. In fact, the Hebrew word for excellent wife is this term, eshet hayil. And it means the virtuous woman. In fact, there's only one woman in the whole Bible called the Eshet Hayil. Do you know who that is? It's Ruth. That's right. Somebody said it over here. Good job, Bible quiz. Right? And this is pointing to the rarity of wisdom modeled for us in an excellent wife. Really, there's only one person who can be found to fit the bill of this woman. And guess who it is? It's Lady Wisdom from Proverbs 1 through 9, right? She is the only one who knows, can carry out, and actually speaks the very wisdom of God. She is the excellent wife. And so, here's this excellent wife, this Lady Wisdom, in action. I like to joke with my wife sometimes. She doesn't like this joke, so maybe you won't either. The ladies' study Bible, really, you know, you look in it and it's only got a few books in it. It's like you get Genesis 1 through 3, you get Proverbs 31, you get Ruth and Esther. If it's really spicy, a really good one, you might get a few stories from Judges like Deborah or Yael. Maybe the Song of Solomon, that's getting on the edge. You get a few stories from the New Testament. And if you're really Roman Catholic, you get a whole book on Mary, but that's a different thing. But for many of us, we think of Proverbs 31 as really just an instruction manual on how to be a good wife, that this is what a good wife's conduct should look like. And I think when we do that, we miss the author's bigger intention to celebrate Lady Wisdom, who's been speaking throughout the whole book in action using her skill that has been talked about throughout the whole book of Proverbs. And so sometimes I think the women in the room, you can feel burdened to live up to this woman who I want you to see is impossible to live up to. She is the very wisdom of God, right? Surely we can learn good things about what it means to be a good wife and how to conduct ourselves. But also, right, sometimes us as guys, we read this chapter and go, well, that doesn't apply to me. Right? That's not, what do I have to do with this chapter? Maybe that's who I should look for. Or we hold the standard against our wives. You're not as good as this lady. Well, of course not. She's not the wisdom of God. Surely the excellent wife of Proverbs 31 does tell us about how to be a good wife, how to do good wifing, right? But this poem is also a celebration of true godly wisdom. And that's good for all of us. Godly wisdom in action. And godly wisdom is perfect. And this woman is perfect. In fact, if you try to be this woman, if you try to keep up with her, did you listen to what she does? She works all the time. You can't do that, right? But God can, right? His wisdom's always at work. And if you're a man and you avoid this woman and go, well, she's not really my type, right? I don't like my lady working. Well, you'll find yourself the simple fool of Proverbs walking away from godly wisdom, right? The Lady Wisdom here is giving us a greater invitation to both men and women in Proverbs 31 to again come and be her companion of wisdom. Embrace her. Let her lead your life. Let her provide for you, as it's talking about. Let her show you how to run this Christian life and race with godly wisdom that leads to blessing and more life. She knows how to do it. And taste and see how good the embrace of godly wisdom can be. That's her invitation to us. And then you begin to join in celebration. Let me show you this just a little deeper because I think it's cool. Let me just show you how the excellent wife of Proverbs 31 seems to embody Lady Wisdom in action. You know, in Proverbs 3:15 and 8:11, wisdom is described as more precious than jewels and anything you could desire. And what does it say in verse 10? This woman is more precious than jewels, right? Here it is. Why is godly wisdom more precious than jewels? We've talked about this, than anything in the world. Because godly wisdom acts as a manual to enjoy the things that God has created. Often we chase the things, but we don't know how to enjoy them. And so we end up going off into sin as we try to use them on our own, pursue them on our own. And Lady Wisdom says, let me show you how to do that. Right? There's a lot of things in this world to be enjoyed that God created, but Lady Wisdom shows us how to do it. And so Solomon is telling us, look, you want to enjoy everything God created? Then embrace Lady Wisdom. Make her your wife. Make her your companion. She can show you, and that is priceless. Right? This wisdom is priceless. I just inherited a vehicle from my dad recently, as he is unable to drive now. And I'm going to show my 1900 side here for a second. My Gen X is going to leak out just a little bit. But this new truck doesn't have an owner's manual. It kind of annoys me, actually, right? Like, I have to go in the dash and scroll through things and read about it on the screen, and it drives me crazy. I just want to open the book and flip to the page, right? It's hard for me to enjoy all the features of that truck because I can't find them. Sorry, I was born in the 1900s. This is what we do of life so much, right? We got all the great stuff, and we start using it in the wrong ways because we don't know how to enjoy it. And Lady Wisdom says, just come and follow me. Like, let me show you how to enjoy everything that God has given you. Right, I'll show you how to do it right. Proverbs 6, 7, and 8, Solomon told us that the diligent ant, remember we talked about the ant, he goes out there and he works hard on his own, and in the right season he prepares for the next season by his work so that he is blessed. In Proverbs 31, 13 through 27, what does it describe about this woman? This excellent wife works hard with willing hands, means she is self-motivated to go do work, and she makes beautiful clothing for her household. She makes food for her household. She works in the marketplace buying and selling. She makes wise decisions with real estate purchases. She even at night makes more clothing because she knows she can make more money with her work. She's never idle, always prospering, always advancing, kind of like an ant. Right? It's showing you her in action. Showing by her actions the principle of wisdom lived out in a woman's life. And wisdom teaches us to work diligently when we can to prepare for seasons we can't. Right? To be self-motivated, knowing that our work is good for us and glorifying to God. You know, some of us this morning need to ask for God's wisdom, to look at this lady and ask for God's wisdom on how best to carry out our jobs. Right? Some of us need wisdom from God just to know how to manage our time. And Lady Wisdom's invitation is come and see. Like, look at what I'm doing. Right? Look how diligent I am. Look at the self-motivation. Look that I'm thinking about how to use my skills to prosper. And God says, I can show you how to do that. You know, praise God, the Bible tells us in John 5:17 that God himself is always at work. He is working for our benefit, and it means we can go to him at any time and ask for wisdom, right? To get help for the things we face in our job, the lack of motivation, whatever it is. God is working like Lady Wisdom all the time so that he can enable you to live this life, right? Proverbs 9:1-6, Lady Wisdom's prepared a spectacular feast and used her maidens to go and call the simple to come to her feast and become wise. And in Proverbs 31:14-15, the excellent wife has likewise prepared an exotic feast that the ships have brought from around the world for those under her care, including her maidens. In fact, her invitation to us again as she's doing this is to come and eat, right? Come and learn wisdom from me. Stop being simple. Come into my house and have a feast of godly wisdom that will lead you in the right way. You know, we say it this way in the South where I grew up. When you invite people over, you say, y'all come on, right? Like, that's her invitation. Y'all come on. Like, come and eat. I got it. I'll show you what to do. I'll show you how good God is. If you begin to embrace me, in fact, it'll go really well for you. So I think her invitation to us this morning here is whatever you're facing, right? And we're all facing lots of different things, but she says, stop being simple, right? You need wisdom in that situation? I can think of 100 things in my life that need wisdom. In fact, I was asking God for it last night on a little walk, right? And she says, come and eat. I got it. Come and see me. Y'all come. Proverbs 31:16, 18, 24, the excellent wife, the lady, like the Lady Wisdom, is found in town, in the marketplace. She's in the gates being praised all over the place. We see her also taking care of the poor, which is a reflection of somebody who knows how good God is, has been to them, and now turns around and takes care of others. Everything she does is wisdom embodied. Lady Wisdom in action. And we stand back in awe. In fact, finally here, and as we celebrate her in this passage, Proverbs 1:7 and 9:10, Solomon told us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And look at Lady Wisdom in Proverbs 31:30. Tells us that she is a woman who fears the Lord and that she is worthy of praise because of this. That this woman's actions are based on the fact she knows who God is. And she, in response to who God is, has decided to walk with him and in his ways to please him, just like Lady Wisdom has called us to do. This is Lady Wisdom in action, calling you to the same. Her invitation is come and stand and come and follow me and live in God's wisdom. In fact, Proverbs 31:26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom and teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She is ready to show us how to live before God in his goodness and enjoy life together and come and learn and celebrate. I want to point out one thing she says in here that I think is interesting as we're celebrating her. Proverbs 31:25 tells us that the excellent wife laughs at the time to come. This is not the only time that Lady Wisdom has laughed. In fact, if you remember Proverbs 1:26, she laughs at the calamity of those that have refused her call, right, as they fall into their folly. You know, I might ask this morning laughs at the time to come? Right? Did you get up this morning laughing about what's up next? Or even, I've been reading a lot of news, and right, do you laugh at what's to come when you read that? I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in our world. We got fires all over the place. You know, we were joking this morning, God said he's going to destroy the world in fire, and we're kind of going like, what else can burn, Lord? Right? Do we laugh at the time to come? A lot of things going on, wars and fires and shootings and extreme heat and our own bodies getting older, things changing. We'll face health challenges and ultimately we pass away and meet Jesus. Have to get an account for our lives. Do you laugh about that? So how does wisdom enable us to do that? We sang it this morning some. I think the answer comes in Psalm 112, 6 through 8, which is much like this poem, actually. It says, the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. What it's saying is, Lady Wisdom knows we are able to look at the time to come and laugh because we trust a God who's in charge of all things and all time, right? And wisdom knows the very heart of God, and what the Bible reveals is that God himself has said, I have good plans for my people to prosper them forever if you will embrace me. And so when we get the bad news, as we have embraced godly wisdom, you know there's more to the story that meets the eye, that God is doing something. And so we trust the God of the story until our eye meets him one day. This is how we stand and laugh at the things to come. And wisdom's invitation to us this morning is come and learn godly wisdom and then celebrate how well it's able to make life go, that there's nothing that can stand against you, that there is pleasure to be had in all of God's creation when enjoyed rightly, there is sin to be shed off, and there is only good things for God's people. You may be here this morning trying to make sense of your life, right? I know you're out there. I'm glad you're here, actually. I was trying to make sense of my life sometimes this weekend. And as you sit in the stands and watch Lady Wisdom perfectly run a race, God wants you to see that there is a way through everything you're facing, and Lady Wisdom knows the way. She does it perfectly. And her invitation is, come and follow me, right? Come and follow me. Our job is to embrace her, learn from her, learn to run the race the way she does, both men and women. And then when you taste and see that the Lord is good, like Psalm 34:8 says, then you can begin to celebrate how good God's wisdom is. I don't know if you have this experience in my own life. It has been such a blessing now over the 45 years that I've been following Jesus to begin to submit more and more of my life in every area to the Lord and his ways, right? Like submitted my finances to the Lord about 20 years ago. I've had more peace and blessing doing them God's ways than I did my way, right? With all the worry and stress. My sexuality put sex in its right place as God designed it in marriage. It's a huge blessing. You get to enjoy it, right? Like we were doing some marriage counseling this week, Genesis chapter 2, naked and unashamed, hallelujah. That's what we want. In your relationships, live with people in the grace and forgiveness that God has extended to you, and that has caused me to have many friends over a long time with deep commitments in relationship to one another. Doing it God's way, right? And every time I've had a job, I learned this many years ago, that I submitted my job to the Lord, and I began to learn to do it for his glory and not my own. How freeing is that, right? This is what Lady Wisdom's invitation to us is. Then we begin to celebrate as we taste and see how good it is. God is saying to you this morning, come and learn from me, right? And celebrate the goodness of my wisdom. It's really good. Now, here's the cool thing. When we embrace Lady Wisdom or make the excellent wife our companion, she treats us really good. That's what we see in this passage. In fact, she knows the path God has put in place to life and blessing. And so this is secondly what the passage wants to tell us. We need to walk in the blessing of godly wisdom when we make her our companion. Look at what it says. Proverbs 31, 11, and 12. The heart of her husband, that is the husband of the excellent wife, trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. And she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. In other words, if you make yourself the companion of godly wisdom, you have a firm foundation to place your trust in, and with her there is blessing. You might ask yourself, who do you trust actually in this world? Right? Anybody? Probably for many of us, we go, I don't trust anybody. We've learned better. Or maybe what do you trust? Is it the bank account? Is it the stuff? Right? And that, you ought to say, oh, I don't trust that either. We're only one bad day away from stock market going away. Most of us probably have nothing to put in that box. And Lady's Wisdom's invitation to us is come place your feet on sure and solid ground in an ever-shaking world. You are blessed when you find a sure foundation to trust in and stand on in this world. And Proverbs 31 says that's godly wisdom. Make her your companion. Right? She is sure. Saw before, this is how we can laugh at the time to come. We trust in the Lord and what he is doing. And it is wisdom for your life to place your trust in God and what he said. You know, last 2 weeks, I've had some obstacles come into my professional life and personal life. And you know, it's a blessing to say, well, God, right? I trust you. Like we read that verse last week, David talking about the Lord who lives, he's got me, he's freed me from all my adversaries. And we begin to have faith in that. You can stand on godly wisdom, trusting the Lord. He's going to get you through. He's going to get you through whatever you're facing. And the companion of wisdom, her husband, trusts her. In fact, look at this. He's protected as he walks with Lady Wisdom. Proverbs 4:6, if you remember, it said, if you love Lady Wisdom and you don't forsake her, she will keep you safe and guard you. And now we see the excellent wife's husband is being guarded, and he has no lack of gain. This means he doesn't feel like he's FOMOing. He doesn't feel like he's missing out on anything. It also means he sees his life continually multiplying and finding unending blessing as he holds hands with Lady Wisdom. Sounds good to me. You know, I gave my life to the Lord as a kid, and I can say he has faithfully shepherded me through so many seasons of life. As a kid, right? As a teenager, he kept me out of a bunch of dumb stuff. You guys know what those are. In college, too. And I gave myself more to him in those days. Ben over here is writing a book on how to live your best college life as a Christian. He knows all about that. So talk to Lady Wisdom, but talk to Ben, too. But I made good decisions there. And I can say I have seen unending gain, unending good, unending and growing and multiplying blessing in my life as I follow the Lord and embrace his wisdom more and more. It's just incredible, even in the midst of hard things. And the blessing has been both spiritual and physical and relational. Listen, she's telling us, if you embrace me, walking with me and the Lord leads to life and blessing. I know how to get there. If you're not walking with him this morning, I'd say, encourage you to start a relationship, right? Give your life to Jesus. Take up his hand, say, show me, Jesus. I want to do life well. I want your wisdom. I want to enjoy this thing you've created. I need your help, and he'll do it every time. And some of us, we've been trying, even we know Jesus, we've still been trying to make our own way. And God says, how about you just go for a walk with me, right? I'll show you how to do that better. And here's more of the blessing that's found, having wisdom as your companion. Proverbs 31:23 says, look, her husband, wisdom's husband, is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. In other words, because this man has embraced wisdom, it has caused him to be exalted in the land. He is no longer one that is simple, but he has become one that is wise and honorable, even an elder of the city. In fact, if you remember Proverbs 8, or 4, 8 through 9, it says, if you prize wisdom highly, she will exalt you and honor you and put a crown on your head. And that's what we see her doing here. Her husband has become, by godly wisdom, one who knows how to make right judgments and good decisions, and that those that are respected, and he is honored as a keeper of good by others in the city. Because he's made wisdom his companion. He's known and honored. And others look to him for wisdom. You know, I think the trap many of us fall into is that we want to be exalted, right? I mean, this is Satan, right, from the beginning. So we hear this temptation in our heart. We want to be exalted, and we try to play by the rules of the world to exalt ourselves in the way of the world, and then actually we get the world's result, which is brokenness and sin. And I hate this in counseling, right? I'll sit down with people, they start talking about what's going on, and then suddenly they'll start giving worldly wisdom about how they should fix it. And go, wait a second, let's see what God says here, right? Let's give godly wisdom a chance and see what that does in our life. And God says, look, truly godly wisdom, he knows better. He knows how to do it. It is right in and of itself, and it will exalt you now or in eternity. You know, some of us need a little bit of a course correction this morning. Maybe God's speaking to you about that. You've lived a long time by the rules of the world, maybe even as a Christian. And God would invite us this morning to say, look at this humble man here married to the excellent wife. It's time to humble your heart, right? And allow true godly wisdom in your life. Let God lead, wherever that is, whatever area of your life he's dealing with you in. Learn to live by his ways. Stop trusting in your own ways, trying to game the system. I said this to one of our staff this week. As soon as we get in this mode, we're always trying to outgame the system and outgame every relationship. You're not trusting the Lord anymore. And so we need to put that down and say, God, I trust you. I want your wisdom. Show me how to walk. And then you know what? You got a world record race incoming. You can guarantee it. Right? God's going to do a great thing in your life. Proverbs 31:27, here's another benefit. It says, she looks well to the ways of her household. In other words, godly wisdom will take care of you. She clothes her family, as we saw. She feeds them. She works constantly and diligently for their well-being. You know, I can say I've never been without as I strive to live in God's ways. Both spiritually, right, and physically, relationally. God has always got me if I'm working at his things. That's just how it is. You come into her house, she takes care of you. And she'll take good care of you. Some of it's innate. You know, godly wisdom says work hard, and hard work reaps good provision. That's what Proverbs tells us about. It's the way God set it up. And when we work hard, God provides through us through our work, and we are without need. But I can say sometimes God multiplies the benefits. I work hard or strive to, as he says, and yet he pours out blessing well beyond what I should have received. This is what it's like to be in the house of Lady Wisdom. So where do you need God to take care of you this morning, either spiritually or physically? Ask God for wisdom on what you need to do, right? How do I get to the next step, Lord? I don't want to do it in my ways. I want to do it in your ways. I want to try your ways out. What do you say in your word? And see if those decisions don't take care of the rest. So Lady Wisdom knows the way to life and blessing with the Lord. And really her question to us, do you want to embrace me? Do you want to walk with me? You want to come into my house? And that's the choice we want to make. All right, let's look at our last section here. This will be that worship godly wisdom in the face of Jesus. This is where this goes. And Banji, you can come on up. You know, Proverbs 31:28-31 says this, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. In fact, he says this, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. You know, the Hebrew word here for praise is halal, which we get our exclamation or hallelujah, right? Praise the Lord like we sung this morning. The verb is used three times in the last couple of verses here in regards to this excellent wife. The author is telling us the wisdom of God, Lady Wisdom, she is worth the highest praise because she knows who God is. She knows his goodness, and she is living it out everywhere. It is worthy of praise. And when we operate according to her ways, which are God's ways, we receive blessing that God intended for us. And our heart then can respond in worship. And look at this. We see her companions praise her, her children that have learned from her, her husband who has made her his intimate companion. And the people of the city even see what she is doing and saying, that's right. You are praiseworthy. That is good. And she is worthy to praise, it says, because she fears the Lord. Again, look, this is no ordinary woman that we're just heaping on niceties, right, that are being bestowed. She is God's wisdom in action, leading to life and blessing for all that embrace her. She is the essence of God's goodness, worthy of worship. And godly wisdom is worthy of worship. You know, again, 1 Corinthians 1:24, Paul writes to us that Jesus, he reveals this to us, Jesus the Christ is the very power and wisdom of God. Think about that. Jesus is ultimately God's wisdom embodied and revealed to us. What Lady Wisdom was telling us about so long ago, Jesus reveals. Jesus is good and executed perfectly the wise life that God wants for us. And we can stand in the crowd and run, watch him run that perfect mile, right? As we go nuts in praise. Because he has shown us the way to live life with God and wisdom that leads to more life and more blessing. In fact, 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, Paul tells us, that we make Jesus our Lord and place our lives in Christ, then Jesus becomes the very wisdom of God to us. As Paul says, the very preaching of the cross seems like foolishness. And you hear it from friends and relatives, that's crazy talk. But actually, Christ crucified is the saving wisdom of God that leads to life and blessing and eternal life. Godly wisdom in Jesus gives us, though we were stuck in our sin, a way to life. He erases our sins. He places his Spirit in us. He enables us to walk in the ways of wisdom. And he leads us into blessing after blessing. So we come to a close of our study of Proverbs. I'd ask you the question again, do you want to embrace godly wisdom in your life, right? If you do, Lady Wisdom says embrace Jesus. He is wisdom. Make him Lord of your life. And you may know Jesus, but you've refused to walk in his ways in some areas of your life. In fact, I know he's pressing on you if you are. Confess those things, right? Humble yourself. Begin to walk in godly wisdom. Say, God, I want to walk with you from now on in this thing. And then begin to taste and see that his ways are really good and lead to goodness in our life. And we begin to praise him. As it ends here, Proverbs 31:31 says, give this woman the fruit of her hands, which is praise. And we need to give Jesus his due for what he's done for us. The praise of our lips, all of our lives, everything about us. We can make Jesus our companion and expect new life and blessing through eternity. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this good book that shows us, Lord, what walking in godly wisdom looks like, Father. Lord, sometimes we lose our way. We confess that to you. We don't know how to walk. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. God, thank you that you can be a sure foundation to show us. Lord, give us the courage to submit our lives to Christ. Lord, please forgive us for our sins as we confess those to you. And God, would you come in and be Lord of our life, fill us with your Spirit, and teach us to walk in your ways. Father, thank you for this day. In Christ's name we pray, amen. We're going to come to a time of communion this morning where we celebrate Christ and his work on the cross that leads to life. If you're a Christian with us this morning, then we invite you to join in this celebration of communion. Communion's for Christians, those that have given their life to Jesus. If you haven't done that, now would be a great time to do it and then join with us. If you have kids with you this morning, then I would say take a few minutes and explain what we're doing here, what we're remembering about Jesus and how he saved us by his death on the cross. Explain that to them. Pray with them. For the rest of us, let's take a few moments to speak with the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us about sin in our life and confess that again to him. Say, God, please forgive me as I remember Christ's sacrifice on the cross, and I commit again to be walking with you. Lord, teach me and help me to walk in your wisdom. I'm going to ask the deacons to come forward as we take communion together.